Just last year, Alejandro Iñárritu's movie Birdman won big at the Oscars, getting awards for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Cinematography. And last weekend at the Golden Globes, Iñárritu cleaned up with his latest film, The Revenant. Best Director, Best Drama, and Best Actor for Leonardo DiCaprio. DiCaprio's character in The Revenant is based on a real-life adventurer and fur trapper in the 1820s who gets attacked by a grizzly bear, and then things just get worse. Iñárritu is from Mexico. I asked him why he decided to tell such a quintessentially American frontier story with The Revenant.
The story of this country, as any country, you know, the foundations of any country, which is basically the story of humanity that has been repeating. And colonialism has been since the man is man.
Yes.
So I think in this case, this take place in 1823 in a place, you know, it's a part of the history that hasn't been explored too much, you know, in American films, or even people doesn't...
Or American fiction, or just in the popular conception.
And I think one of the reasons is because in that time, very few people went into this uncharted territory, right. This unknown territory, and all of these stories came out from these men, the ones who survived it. And they were these legends, and most of it came from these Eastern... men, more intellectual guys who in a way romanticize the idea of these men in the woods and individualism.
Yeah.
But actually it was much more harder than you can read it. So if you go through the journals of all these trappers, it's really tough.
Well, as one sinks into the reality of this film, as one is watching it, you go like, really? You guys are risking everything and going through this hell for beaver pelts?
Yeah, but the funny thing is that beaver pelts was, in that time, the biggest income in the United States, more than anything. There was no oil, there was no gold, so that was the biggest business in the United States.
That's why John Jacob Astor invented Oregon.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a huge business, and the way they came into that territory, it has a huge impact in the Native Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously nature. And so the conditions, most of these guys were young and they were illiterate and they were runaways, most of them. And most of them die in tough conditions by the weather, by animal attacks, by diseases, you know, and they got...
And you have all those in the film.
Yes. I mean, I think for me it was fascinating that in a way the amount of people from all around the world in that time with no law... And the way they were surviving each other, it was a surviving period of these men thrown in the middle of nowhere. And they were dying like flies every
right.
day of different reasons. And it's fascinating.
Yeah. The character, the Leo DiCaprio character, Hugh Glass, we never, other than he had terrible loss and he's out for revenge, we don't know what's going through his head. As opposed to, say, the Michael Keaton character in Birdman, where we hear everything is going on in his head. And I guess you need a big star like Leo DiCaprio to pull that off. In a way.
Yeah, I think this film is show and don't tell. You know,
right.
it's a lot of no words. And I think I like the challenge to tell a story with mostly cinema. And cinema defined as image and sound and know a lot of dialogue. You know, is basically you are understanding everything by character's action and
mm-hmm.
what you are seeing
mm-hmm.
more than you are hearing. And Leo's character has very reduced amount of words and that's it. The plot line is very simple. For me, the challenge was who was Hugh Glass and what happened to a guy that has to survive in the winter for 200 miles? What is inside him? Who he was?
Yeah.
What he was thinking? There's an emotional state that I want to, in a way, through images, to understand what kind of thing he's thinking, feeling, remembering of himself to, in a way, hold from life and get alive.
Right.
And I think that's the way when we are in a plane and the plane is getting badly, you know, you're a little afraid, only a lot of images and a lot of things start getting into your brain. I want to understand this guy by cinematic things and those images, in a way, try to recreate and a spiritual dimension of who this guy is.
At last year's Oscars, when you were raking in Oscars for Best Picture and others, you dedicated the Best Picture Award to your fellow Mexicans. Here's a clip of what you said that night.
I just want to take the opportunity. I want to dedicate this award for my fellow Mexicans, the ones who live in Mexico. I pray that we can find and build the government that we deserve, and the ones that live in this country who are part of the latest generation of immigrants in this country, I just pray that they can be treated with the same dignity and respect of the ones who came before and built this incredible immigrant nation. Thank you very much.
And, of course, since then, Donald Trump and other people running for the Republican presidential nomination haven't gone the direction of granting dignity, but have hyped up this incredible level of anti-Mexican immigrant rhetoric. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that, you know, always has been people that has been able to plant seeds of hate. What I feel is a little bit compassion about this, too, because it's part of the ignorance and that is based on fear and prejudice to find the otherness to be threatened, you know, and without understanding and without the ability to listen deeply to the realities of other people and see them as you, it's very hard when you compartmentalize and you generalize masses and said these guys are rapists and these guys are dangerous and these guys. So when you generalize like that, you are taking out the humanity, the integrity of a human being, of human lives. And that has been historically the case, and the way horrible things has happened to humanity, to millions of people that suffer and being killed. But it's coming from ignorance.
So really, you pity more than you scorn?
Yes, yeah. Because, you know, to be so rich and to be so bitter is a poor man whose only possession is money. And that is really, really, that's the lesson we all have to learn.
Yeah. You know? Have you ever had any thought of making a film about the American immigrant experience?
Well, in a way, I have to say, in Babel, I touch a little bit with one of the characters of a Mexican nanny.
The United States has deemed that you were seriously breaking the law and is determined to immediately and definitively deport you.
Sir, I've been here for 16 years. I have my things here. I rent a house. I made a life here, sir.
You should have thought about that beforehand.
Here, in a way, I think the revenant, the fact, you know, most of these trappers in that time, they relate with a Native American woman because those were the only women that were in the middle of the country. Most of them have families, but, you know, some of them reject them, some of them hide them, didn't accept them, or some of them really embrace the families. But it was a tough time. Slavery was, you know, normal.
Yeah.
And obviously the prejudice and the problem with the color of a skin and the threat that the otherness represent, very similar to today, was there very much. So when a trapper, a white man, related with a Native American and have a family, he was in a way always somebody to not trust very much.
In your movie, Hugh Glass, crucially, has a Native American wife and son, although that is not in the historical record.
He could have easily have a family that nobody knows. And I thought, what will happen if you have a mixed race kid in that time and you have to take care of it and to try to teach him how to survive under those racist conditions of that time? And me, as a Mexican living in this country and having kids too, you know, you are navigating all the time as an outsider in some way or the other. And that theme is interesting to explore, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You'd started production on this, on The Revenant, when you were accepting the Oscars for Birdman. And I've thought about the two movies, both of which I like very, very much. They're so different. I mean, here you have this period 150 years ago as opposed to now. You have out in the middle of nowhere as opposed to in one building in the city. Was that part of the appeal for you too? Just like, whoa, this is 180 degrees different.
Yes. You know, I have never made a film in the exterior. You have never seen in any of my films any green. I hate to have trees in my films. Never you have seen a tree in my films. And this time I was surrounded by trees, which I have nightmares how to shoot a tree. Trees and nature is one of the most difficult things to shoot because it never, the complexity of nature is so much that your eyes catch it, but the camera and in a frame of a camera, you never get it. You never get the layers. So one of the reasons that we shot in the natural light at the end of the day in the sunset is because there's a certain moment in the day where nature reveals itself in a beauty and a complexity that in other hours of the day it's absolutely flat and horrendous.
Right.
So when you shoot it as a great painters like Caravaggio or Turner, they wait for that light to come and then everything just, you know, it's an ecstasy. The nature is in ecstasy. God speaks. And that's why I thought if I will shoot, that has to be in that hour because if not, it will look like a park.
Yes, so, yes.
And yes, I can put in CGI more trees or I will have shot this in green screen. Yes, too, but it will be another film that I was not interested, you know.
And you had bad weather, worse weather than you expected?
More than bad weather is weather.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad.
It was just winter.
Yeah, and you know, Calgary is the place in planet Earth that more weather changes in a day can be. So there can be seven different weathers in one day that goes from 20 to 25 degrees different. So it's crazy. So you have to be, sometimes you are God, sometimes you are a server of what you, your own creation. And we were surrendered to that and we have to adapt to survive to that.
Did you regret any of it? Or would you do, if I had to do it over, I'd do this and this differently?
No, I will not do nothing different. And that was the journey that we embark on and we sign on. And it's like when you go to the Arctic, you cannot expect to be warm. You know that it will be difficult. You will find ice. You know, so we knew what will be. Now, one thing is the notion of it, and the other is the reality. Now, that I expect to be so hard? No. Probably I will have not done it if I will knew. Now that I've done it, I feel so proud and so happy to have survived it because I could have died.
All bad things you survive are great in retrospect.
Exactly. But it was absolutely difficult, yes. But, you know, a lot of things has been said and discussed and whatever about how we all went through and how difficult production-wise and how much the crew. I have to say that I feel a little bit embarrassed of having discussed so much about that because that's our job.
One reason you've had to discuss it so much is because one of your crew members called it a living hell.
You know, honestly, yes, there's people that maybe it was not for them. And maybe one guy said, oh, it was a living hell. One guy from 300 for 11 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's good. But what I'm saying is, you know, it was a very tough thing, but at the same time, there was joy in it. There was joy in solving problems.
Did you, on some level, did you want the cast to go through some version of what Hugh Glass went through?
Not that I wanted, that was the conditions that we were to. So yeah. I didn't have to remind the actors, you pretend to be cold. No, they were really cold.
Yeah.
And so all the elements, in a way, were there for them to be served and to be used. And that gave them a lot of awareness. And so it became a method acting, method directing.
Yes.
You know, and that was a privilege. That was a gift.
Do you have the next one figured out?
Not at all. I think the only thing that I need is to, like a bear, to go into my cave and sleep for 6 months, I guess, and then find out what I want.
You in the bear thing. It's just all about the bear, isn't it? Alejandro Iñárritu, thank
great.
You very much.
Without you say it correctly, thank you for having me.
Alejandro Iñárritu is up for a Best Director Oscar, and his film The Revenant is in theaters now.